Parshat Shemini. Parshat Shemini. We're gonna continue. We started a story last year. It's a very sad story, and I guess it's on my mind since it, you know, even what's going on from last week. I think we're still reeling from the tragic events of last week. So I thought that it was. I guess it's going to be a little bit of a downer. We'll sort of focus on Purim a little bit, the end of Purim, and it's not even time for Pesach yet. So we'll use the story in the Chumash maybe as a springboard to try to learn some lessons. So we're going to start in Perek Yud in Shemini, and it's the really difficult, the hard story of Nadav and Avihu. But today we're not going to discuss. Last year we discussed what Nadav and Avihu did. There's a huge machloket about what did they do? Well, like what was so bad about what they did? But today I want to discuss not what they did, but what's the response? What's the reaction? And how Moshe tells Aaron to react and how he's supposed to react? And then I guess what I'd like to discuss to some degree. I gave a speech about it?
Yeah, I'm always glad you're discussing because I've always had a very hard time. This section, the response of Aaron.
Right. This, so we're going to discuss. I did? I'm glad it was good. That happens to me sometimes. They weren't all good. Thank you. I appreciate that. That happens to me sometimes that people come, oh, Rabbi, the speech you gave 3 weeks ago was like so meaningful to me. I'm trying to remember what I say this past week, and, you know, like not so good. Okay, but you know, it's nice when you touch people, when you like, and also
each week you touch someone else.
Right, it's also interesting. You never know when you're going to say something that resonates with people.
So you know,
and a side point. Right.
You gave a shiur once, and all, like for years I had this question, and like in this one shiur, and I asked different rabbis, and I never got a response that I was happy with. Mm-hmm. And then the shiur you gave, it like settled it for me. I was like, okay. With
what was the topic? Do you remember even?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. It was about depression.
Ah.
How can Hashem not be with us?
I don't think that was the topic either, wasn't it? It just kind of came up at the end or whatever. I remember. It was the topic?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember when the subject was? Do you remember what the subject was? You don't remember. Okay. I do remember.
No, this was different.
Oh, Choshech, darkness. It wasn't darkness?
No, it was a totally different one. But you brought it up, and I'm like, wow, you like finally answered it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. Remind me what the answer is after the
issue. Okay. I remember I was like, okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay. let's go back into the text. Vayikhu b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu ish machtachto. Remember that in the context, this is the happiest day of the Jewish people in a sense. That they, there was all, there's a, there's like, yeah. You have to, but stop. You have to put this all in the context of there's the anxiety about the Chet HaEgel. Remember, the Chet HaEgel is overarching. It really is overarching in the psyche, in the consciousness of the Jewish people. Will Hashem forgive us? Won't He forgive us? Right? And the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and he said, okay, we got to build the Mishkan. They spent all winter building the Mishkan. They built the Mishkan. They finished the Mishkan. They put it up. They took it down. They put it up. They took it down. Finally, and like Moshe said, when you finally do this, Hashem will be back in your midst. We'll redeem ourselves from the Chet HaEgel. And this is the Yom HaShemini. The Yom HaShemini, the number 8, as we all know, has a lot of significant connotations in Judaism as being what we would call Me'al HaTeva. Right? 7 is Teva, and Shemini, 8, is Me'al HaTeva. Right? 7 is the natural cycle of life. There's 7 days in the week. And then on the 8th day is Brit Milah. The number 8 is beyond nature. Okay, so on Bayom HaShemini, so this whole idea of the Parashat Shemini, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally returns to the Jewish people, and like they literally come and Aaron like offers the sacrifices and the witnessing, and like just like look at the last pasuk right before this, Kapdalet in Perek Tet, Vateitzei Eish Milifnei Hashem, fire came out from God, Vatochal Al Mizbeach Et HaOla Et HaChalavim, like you know this isn't your everyday occurrence, right? Fire emanated from the heavens, came down, consumed the mizbeah, the sacrifice on the altar. Vayar kol ha'am vayaronu, the nation, the whole nation saw, and they vayaronu, they celebrated, they exalted. I don't even know what they did, right? They celebrated. They were happy. They were rejoicing. Vayiplu al pneihem, Meirina, that's true. Vayaronu, Sharmina. What do they have there? Debbie, what do you see? Vayaronu. The whole nation saw?
Saw and sang glad song.
Sang glad song. Okay, well, we'll take it. Okay. Vayiplu apanim, they fell on their faces. They were just, it was unbelievable. Oh, they, like, it's incredible. This is like, you know, what we were waiting for the whole time. You know, you get to think about all that anxiety, all that built up tension, all that built up energy, all that passion, it expressed itself. Fine. And then, the very next thing, Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav Avihu ishmachtato, Vayidu behem esh, so they, Nadav and Avihu took each one his frying pan, his incense pan, and they put it on it. Kitoret, Vayikrivu d'pnei Hashem esh zara asher lo tziva lehem. They offered this strange fire that they were not commanded. Again, we're not going to discuss today what they did. You can reference back last year's shiur. Vatetzei esh m'lifnei Hashem. A fire emanated from God. Vatochalotam. And it consumed them. Vayamutu lifnei Hashem. So another fire emanated from God. And this time it consumed them. It did not burn them physically, the Midrash says. But rather it entered into their nostrils somehow. And it just, it purged their souls. They died. Just tam kacha. Terrible tragedy. Now, this is where we want to start. And then we're going to spend some time dissecting this pasuk both linguistically and theologically as well. Vayomer Moshe el Aharon. Moshe said to Aharon, Hu asher diber Hashem lemor. This is what God has said, saying, Bikrovai akadesh, ekadesh, v'al pnei kol ha'am ekabed. Okay. In my midst I will be sanctified, and in the face of the entire nation I will be honored. Vayidom Aharon. And Aaron was silent. So we have a number of interesting questions here. Okay? Number of interesting questions. Let's read the pasuk again and see if you can come up with any questions as we do this. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem lemor. This is what Hashem said, saying, Bikrovai ekadesh, in my midst I will be sanctified, v'al pnei kol ha'am ekabe. And the face... Ekadesh. Ekadesh, I will sanctify, or I will be sanctified. What does he say? What does this grow?
I will be sanctified.
Right, but wait, that's not really ekadesh. I don't. I'm not in biblical Hebrew. How would you say it? Ekadesh.
Ekdash.
I don't know. V'apnei kolam ekabed, and in the face of the entire nation, I will be honored. Vayidom Aaron. So I have two fundamental questions here. Yeah.
Is the Vayidom Aaron part of the? This is what Hashem said.
No. No, our Vayidom Aaron, dom. What is dom? We always translate Amin as an Aaron was silent. If you look at Aaron, right? Ushtik Aharon. What? What is dom?
It's like don't move, like when you don't move.
Very good. Where is there an example of that? In that word in Tanakh, do you know?
Dmamata.
Called Dmama Daka, Dmama's voice. Vayidom. No, dimama is called dimama dakai is soft. Called dimama, I don't know. Anyway, no, dimama, I don't know. But where do we see that dom? Vayidom is from is not to move, is to still. You're thinking of Bnei Kiva. I'm all dom. Dom. No, shemesh begivon. Dom. Right. There's something beimek ayalon. Shemesh begivon dom. Like there's a great miracle in Shoftim or Yoshua, whatever. That the sun stood still. Yoshua. I never learned Yoshua. I think I skipped it. I never learned it properly. It's a good book. Thank you. I skipped a grade in grade school. And that was fifth grade when they learned Yoshua. I went back afterwards, but it's never the same. Okay. Two questions. The first fundamental question is the question every Pirush asks. Hu asher diber Hashem lemor? This is what God said, saying. This is what God said, lemor, saying. When did God say this? This is what God said. Like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, they offered a fire. Like, you have to put yourself in the situation. Like, could you imagine, like, everyone celebrating, these guys come out and they do something? Like, it's happy, it's exciting, it's, and all of a sudden, literally, all of a sudden, fire comes down and they're dead. And it's just silence. And they're lying there. What?
Well, we know Aaron is silent. We don't have anybody else.
Well, okay. And they're dead. And Moshe comes to him and says, this is what God said.
You don't know that God didn't come to Moshe. This tells every single time.
Ah! You're presupposing the question. When did God say this? God said this? When you say, this is what God said, you would think God had said it. Everybody knew about it. And I said, this is what God said.
Everybody said, knew about it. God told Moshe.
Who asher diber Hashem lemor?
The formulation is strange, but the existence of the phrase, I don't find.
If you said, who asher diber Hashem lemor, what would you think it says? Oh, God had said it. I mean, if God had only said it to Moshe, what would you say? Hu asher diber Hashem elai lemor. The God had told me, and I didn't know what it meant.
Hu asher diber is a strange formulation.
Right, implying
that he had already told me before this God was started, and I didn't understand the connection, and now this is the connection.
Correct. Who says this? Take a wild guess. Rashi. You're looking at Rashi, right? Rashi asks this very question, right? Rashi. People say, Rashi's a Perush. He asks textual questions. You have to learn how to read Rashi and understand. He's not just quoting a Midrash. Rashi says explicitly here, this is a very good Rashi. Rashi says, who asher diber? Hechan diber? Simple question. Really? That's what God said? When did he say that? Okay? So Rashi says the following. The answer is, v'no'adati shama livnei Yisrael v'nikdash b'chvodi. And of no adity, I will appear. You see where I am in Rashi on Chaf on Gimel, right? Then no adity sham Israel, and I will no adity be witnessed before the people of Israel. V'nikdash b'kvodi, and they will be honored in my midst. Al tikri b'kvodi, do not read it b'kvodi with my kavod, with my glory. Ella b'mechubadi, rather with mechubadi, those who honor me. Meaning, I will appear and I will be sanctified through those who honor me. This one, listen to the rest of this. This is unbelievable. This is the Midrash says the following thing. Amar Moshe la Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron. Aaron achi. Yodea hayiti shiyitkadesh habayit b'miyuda'av shel makom. I b'miyuda'av shel makom. Those who yodea, those who know God. I know. I knew that there was going to be a Kiddush HaBayit, a Kiddush Hashem, through one who knew God. V'hayiti savor, o bi, o b'cha.
Is he acknowledging that he thought there was going to be a human sacrifice?
Yes. He thought someone was going to die al Kiddush Hashem to sanctify the Beit HaMikdash.
Wow.
I just knew.
That's awful.
It was either me or you. Shava ani ro'eh shehem gdolim mimcha mimeni umimcha. Now I see that they are greater than me or you.
Our own sons?
Yes, and not even Abihu.
So you're saying they didn't do anything wrong?
Yeah, huh? That changes everything.
Does it?
Yeah.
Meaning what?
Meaning their sins have just turned into a huge
thing. Yeah, sure. Bikrovai akadesh.
Reminds us of someone else.
What are you talking about?
Jesus.
What? Jesus. Abdil. Chas v'shalom. Oh, you mean die for God? Oh, right, one second.
No, dying, for other people.
Hold on. Whoa. This is a theological issue, right? One second. This issue is a huge issue that we deal with all the time. Don't we? It is not don't we. I will state it as known fact. The Gemara itself says, and we believe this, that mitatam shel tzadikim mechaperet. This isn't a Christian idea, right? All Jesus did was took a lot of Jewish ideas. He just forgot the ritual. He forgot the Jewish parts. But, much of the things that he said about chesed and the poor, he wasn't the only person who was claiming it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he thought he was a Mashiach. It was a Jewish Mashiach. He'd be very upset if he saw the religion that came out in his name afterwards, probably, I think. You never know. Okay. Nonetheless, but I digress. This is a Jewish ideal. That people who die, al kiddush Hashem, right? It brings about a kapara for the Jewish people. How? Why? No idea.
Well, the way I see it is, it's almost like there's a price that has to be paid for everything. So, that's how Hashem was created.
Again, so you're saying the same thing I just said. How? Why?
It's a hard thing to accept.
And causes those left behind to introspect. To have a look at those that have gone.
Very good.
Look at what happened.
Very nice. And what?
you have a look at what happened a week ago.
Yeah.
I think, and you know, you appreciate the greatness of these people, and it just inspires you. It's just kind of introspecting
you. One thing, but you are appreciating the greatness of these people and the lives that they led, correct?
And what they stood for.
Right. Would they have stood for those things had they not been ruthlessly and brutally murdered?
They still would have stood for it, we just wouldn't have known about it.
Right.
But it caused us to wake up and introspect our own lives, and are we kind of living to our potential and doing everything that we should be doing?
Clearly not, but you know what I'm saying? It does.
Well, to those that are open to hear the message.
No, no, I don't mean that. I mean clearly we are not. You know what I'm saying? When you look at these people and how amazing they are and the things that they, you know, just in their daily lives. And I think it's interesting. It brings about, like I was thinking to myself, I'm not a person necessarily that I didn't immediately feel a need to go to pay a shiva call. And there are people that do, that have this need to go. And people from here went, I think. People from all over the country went. And I think of that sort of as a shortcoming in myself. Maybe like I try to distance myself from these things, not to internalize it, not to personalize it. Okay? But that is that what? Is your lesson what Rashi is saying? Or it's a different focus?
No, I think Rashi's saying a bit what I said, that when something we receive something very, very, very wonderful, we have to pay for it. And this is what you pay, this is what we have to pay. We have to give up people who are very, very great.
Yeah. Right? Correct.
And okay. I don't know if you
correct. Meaning, right, it says, mita. When you say mitatam shel tzadikim mechaprim, it means in some way that Bnei Yisrael don't deserve on some level they don't deserve spiritually that which they're getting, and they need a kapara, they need an atonement in order to atone for the sins in order that they then merit, you know, the great kedusha that they're going to have. It has to bring about some kind of tikkun. And that tikkun is brought about sometimes through the yisurin, through the affliction of the mitatam shel tzadikim.
Because we have two ways of becoming greater, either on our own, that we just elevate ourselves, or Hashem has to give us yisurin to elevate us.
Right. Right. Does it make you feel better? Not really. It's a little bit, right.
That's what we say on Yom Kippur. We shouldn't, right?
Loyalty to Yisurim. Right. I would really prefer if it wasn't through Yisurim. Right. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? One gets the sense that God says, you know, I would prefer if it wasn't through Yisurim too. You know what I mean? You know.
Right. We don't want to punish our kids.
What?
We don't want to punish our kids.
It is interesting. Do you get the sense that, well, no, it is, it does it seem national or personal? In the language of Rashi.
Yes, I would say. That Moshe is saying the nation has to pay for this great thing of having the Mishkan inaugurated, and he thought it would be him or
Aaron.
So obviously it's a national price.
Okay.
Price
that the nation has to pay. That almost, it's interesting that you say that. Then if that were true, then the Koveya, the factor that's most significant is the level of the anguish in the people. Meaning, is it the loss of the tzaddik or the pain that induces in the people?
The pain.
You know what I'm saying? That we are missing the tzaddik. That the tzaddik, it could be both.
Yeah.
Could in a sense be, you know what I'm saying? Like, the way that it was described, let's say the thing that we went through, it's a ke'ev. It was a national pain. It was a national mourning. I mean, you know, you really, really here felt it, that it wasn't just a personal thing. It was like this country saying, why are, you know, through this terrible tragedy of this family, and it was something that tied us all together. And it's a very interesting thing that, you know, it was so public in such a prominent way, and that it was so pronounced that everybody saw it. It's a very, very interesting perspective. Yeah, you were going to say something?
Doesn't it says here that Moshe said that this means that they were greater than us, you know? It doesn't mean that.
They were the greater tzaddikim. That's why Hashem took them and didn't take us.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that. They, Moshe and Aaron, have their place. They have their mission. And Nadav and Avinu had a different mission. doesn't mean one is greater than the other.
Well, that's what Rashi says. That Hashem, if he wants to sanctify his name, he's going to take the greatest tzaddik. And the greater the tzaddik, that's the one he takes. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Point in time.
What?
Maybe at that specific moment in time.
Okay, I want to go, and there's a couple of other very interesting parshanim. If you have it, you have it. It's in. You know, we're going to look at the Kli Yakar and the Orach Chaim. Okay, so we did. You know, it's just interesting. Well, and then we'll get to the Vayidom Aharon, because we have a couple of interesting things. The Orach Chaim focuses on a very interesting question. He says, "What does it mean when he says Hu Hasher Diber Hashem Lemor?" Who means that's what Hashem was talking about? Okay, what is Moshe saying? When he says who? Oh, that's it. Who Asher Diber Hashem Lemor? So let's look at Orach Chaim. Do you have Orach Chaim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. The first of all, 1 second. Who Asher Diber Hashem Lemor? Let me see 1 second. It says Orach Chaim. Okay. What does it mean when he says who? And what does it mean when he says Lemor? So Orach Chaim says Im Kain Lama Lo. If Hashem said it already, why am I Lo Amar Ad Ata? Why didn't God say it until now? Moshe say it until now? So Skipper says, Rabbi Deinu Zal said, Matzinu Shlehem Sha'amu Haya Aaron Omed V'tohe. Aaron was standing and questioning God. See where I am, Rabbi Deinu? V'omer Oili. Oili. Kach Aveira Biyadi Ubiyad Banai Shekachi Gatani. Right, Aaron. What was Aaron's immediate reaction? Why did this happen?
To me
Avera. And to my sons.
Avera.
Which one? Which Avera? There's only one Avera. There's only one Avera.
Egel.
Yeah, remember, Egel is the background of all of this. Okay. Ve'omer nichnas Moshe va'etzlo v'haya mefaiso. So, meaning, the Torah is not telling you the whole conversation. We don't know. Like, you know, how long it took and when God responded, etc., etc. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Ah, finally. Okay. Great. And whose telephone?
Alice's.
Ah, okay. That's quite all right. We finally finished. We left it out. We didn't know who it was. Okay. So he says, so Aaron is sitting there crying and saying, oh my God, I knew it. It's my fault. I'm responsible. And Moshe came in, v'hayam mefaiso. Moshe appeased him. Amar lo, Aaron achi. Aaron, he says, no. Mi Sinai ne'amar li atid ata l'kadesh ha'bayit hazeh be'adam gadol. Aaron, it's not Chet ha'egel. It was always going to happen. V'hayiti savor obi obecha ha'bayit mitkadesh. It had to happen. I thought it was me. I thought it was you. Achshav nimtzu banecha gedolim mimeni o mimcha. So he says, understand, when I went to Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when the Bnei Yisrael, when I come into your midst, almost in a sense, someone's going to pay the ultimate price. There will be Kiddush Hashem. And it has nothing to do with you. It's not your fault. Davar acher. Vayomer Moshe, who Asher Dibir? Dibur Zen, Amar Moshe B'Sinai V'lo Yida'o Atsheba Ma'aseh Liyado. Right? Hashem said something will happen, and Moshe didn't know what it meant until it happened. Amar Moshe L'Aaron, Lo Ben Meta Banecha El Bishvil Kedushat Shemo Shel Makom. Right? Your children only died. Why did they die? They didn't die because of your sin. They died because of Kiddush Hashem. He says, "Hinei l'derech harishon mefaresh tevat hu." Okay, who? What is the who? Al hadzeh haderech liyoshaya mitzta'er ahasiba shehu sabab lebanav shemetu. He says, "Who asher diber?" He says, "You're upset." So, what is the first who? He says, "No, don't be sad about that. Your anguish, who asher diber, your pain is what Hashem said." So, the question is, when Moshe said who, is Moshe referring to who asher diber? Aaron's mourning? Or is Moshe's who? Oh, that's what Hashem said. So is he referring to the response of the people? Bikravai Akadesh? Or is Moshe referring back to what God had told him originally? And he says those are two pshatim. Those are two different understandings of what the who is. Who Asher Diber? Again, it's a little subtle. When he says, Vayomer Moshe El Aharon, who Asher Diber Hashem Lemor? Okay? Is the who, is Moshe saying who, that your mourning is what Hashem said? Meaning your pain, your anguish, your mourning, or the mourning, or who? Oh, that's what Hashem said. That's what the thing that God had said before.
My thinking was, who is not, you know, like my mother always said to me, don't call me she.
No. Who means refers to something. You know? Is it referring to Aaron's reaction? Or is the who referring to what God had said long before?
No, what I mean is that who, to say Hashem is who, is not really respectful.
Right. But I don't think, we're not talking about in this case.
It's one and the same thing.
Yes.
They're totally interconnected.
Yes, they are interconnected, okay? Meaning the first who is that Aaron was upset. Your pain, who, is what God had said. Your pain is not because of you. Your pain is because it had already been they are interconnected. But it's just, the first pshat is more related to than the next thing. What's the next thing? Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was silent.
Now that makes sense.
Yeah. Aaron is pain. He's crying. He's upset. He's anguished. And Moshe comes along. Moshe and says, "Aaron, it's not you. This is always going to be."
Oh, so you're saying he feels comforted?
Yeah.
I always took the silence as the opposite, that he's not allowed to mourn. That's what I always found so hard to understand. I just remember reading.
You're right. You're not making it up.
Wow, my son's got a good reason.
But I always thought the other way, that this, no, you're not allowed to mourn because this is part of the process so that we can all have the Mishkan and you have
to accept that. We didn't get there by Yidom Aaron, but that's correct. But according to the first shot, Aaron's silence was a silence of consolation. Right? That it's not, meaning, but it's interesting, and I think there's a lot of truth to this. Why was Aaron so anguished? What was the anguish for? It wasn't mourning. What meaning? So therefore, what's his great pain? What is the source of that pain? Guilt. It's not that telling him not to mourn. What he's telling him is, it's not your fault. And I think it's so interesting. I think a lot of us feel that way. Like even we're talking about the national tragedy. You know, some people feel guilty. I think that a lot of us feel guilty that here are these people that are living out the ideals that we identify with and we represent.
We don't have the courage to do.
And we don't have the courage to do. And their sacrifice is on our behalf. Meaning, and they say it even sometimes, like they said in Gaza, we are on the front lines, meaning they're shooting us in Gaza, and that way they're not shooting at you in Sderot. And they were right. Boy, were they right. You know what I'm saying?
Or Ashkelon.
Yeah. And now you see. You know what I'm saying? So it's easier in Itamar than it is in Yad Binyamin. You know, and we don't feel that fear. That fear to go out at night. We don't feel it. Baruch Hashem.
I went to an Aaron Morod 2 weeks ago. We took a bus from here to Nof Ayalon. We had an hour. And I sat next to a teacher on the bus who, as soon as we pulled out of the yeshiv, she started saying Tfilah Hadarah. I said to her, "Do you always say Tfilah Hadarah when you go from here to Nof Ayalon or whatever?" She said she grew up in Kochav, which is the one that's like
Kochav HaShachari.
Okay.
I don't know.
Surrounded by all the Arab.
I don't think so. Kochav HaShachar is surrounded by Arabs?
Yeah,
no.
Maybe.
I don't know, whatever.
Whatever.
Some star,
it's
usually right?
It's totally surrounded, behind Ramla, surrounded by Arab. She said, anytime you left the yeshuv, she said, it's just ingrained in her. Every time you leave the yeshuv, you say,
Right.
So she goes from here to Nofai alone, you know, we're like, okay.
So Aaron's mourning, fascinatingly, is a mourning of Ashma, of guilt, in a sense. It's my fault, it's my responsibility. And Moshe comes to appease him and to say to him, it's not your fault. This was decreed from Hashem. But it's an interesting commentary on our guilt, on our pain. Okay? It is interesting. Rashbam does note, he says the whole thing's not pshat. Can't be pshat. Why? Because it doesn't make sense that God would say to Moshe beforehand, on the day of the greatest joy, on the day of the Chanukat HaMishkan, that everybody's amazing. Oh, by the way, someone's going to die that day. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, you know, that's the thing that was, you know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But he says it's not shot to say that God predetermined that some great sacrifice was going to be made on that day. That's not shot. Okay, let's look at one second, Kli Yakar, and then we'll go back. One second, Kli Yakar says, along Kli Yakar, one second, he starts to say, what does it mean, Hu Asher Dibeir B'Kovai HaKadesh? He brings Rashi, okay, one second. Blah, 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 one second. Here we are. Why does Hashem take the tzaddikim? Zeh Pshibirush Rashi. See the second paragraph in? Amar lo Moshe le'Aron, Aron acha, yodea hayiti sheyitkadesh labayit, v'yumin do'av shel makom. He's just quoting Rashi. I knew that God would sanctify his name. V'hayiti savor o bi o becha. And I knew it was... Are you giving her coffee? You're scaring me. Okay. Either me or you. Achshav ani aray Hashem v'leim mincha. U'bameh yodea efo shem gdolim. How do I know that they're greater? Ela vaday shekach bi'ur inyan, shehakadosh baruch hu ochez v'shnei ha'ktzavot. God grabs the two ends, the two extremes. Hakatzeach shehakadosh baruch hu megedakdek imat tzadikim yoter mizulatam. Sorry, God is more exacting with the tzadikim than with the others. Hakatzeach sheni shema'anisham afilu al hashkia ktana, meaning even on small errors, right, God holds them even more responsible. He says, if a great person did some terrible mistake and God punished him, he said, okay, you made a terrible mistake. If a regular guy made a big mistake, okay, you made a big, regular guy, he gets punished. He says, what's the whole point? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a Kiddush Hashem and show how important the Beit HaMikdash was? People said, what did none of an Avihu do? It's tachlis. What did they do? Did they throw up at the entrance of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Mishkan? No. Did they, you know, defile themselves? Did they desecrate the place? In the end, what did? They offered the wrong korban. Really? And on that, God held them so responsible? Oh my God. What about us? Al achat kama v'kama, how much more so us? Okay? Ma'katuv omer, al p'nei kol ha'am ekabed. It's a lesson for the entire nation. Mashma shekulam yu nizarim mikvodi me'az v'hala. It teaches you that everyone should therefore be careful about their kavod from then on. Ki kulam yikhu musar b'kal v'chomer. This is what you were saying. It's a lesson for the rest of us, right? That's what you were saying, that it's a lesson for all of us. This, you know what a kal v'chomer is? If they were punished, oh my God, what about me? If it could happen to them, what about me? Right? If it didn't happen to the great people, then it wouldn't happen to us. Okay? One second. I'm going to skip a little. I don't want to read the whole thing. We're trying to understand. This is the idea of Kiddush Hashem. Ki mi'az yiru et Hashem kidoshav. V'zeu she'amar, and that's what it says, bikrovai akadesh. You're trying to find it. That's what it means in Bakraya Bakadesh. Shukarov la yoter mizulato. Okay, the last paragraph. Zehutam. See there, Utam? This is the reason, Batochal Bikseya Machane. Okay? The fire came, we're going to see later on, a fire came, and it consumed the Kseya Machane. Darshu Razal, Chachamim said, Bikzinim Shem Machane. Ktsinim, Katsin. Katsin means the excellent, the officers, the excellent in the camp. Ka'amri Razal v'chachamim said, Ein pan puraniyot ba'la olam ki'im ba'avor ha'rishaim. Why does tragedy happen? Because of the rishaim. But, ve'eno matchil ki'im b'tzadikim. But who gets punished? The righteous. U'biyu ha'davar, and the period, the explanation is, she'lekach matchil b'tzadikim. It starts with the tzadikim, ba'avor shi'ikhu ha'rishaim musar. To teach a lesson to the Rishaim. And this is what it says, V'achechem kol beit Yisrael yivku. Why are the Jewish people supposed to cry? Yipachadu v'yidagu l'nafsham They better be afraid and be scared. Shelo yikra lahem kasher karau la'elu. He says, what's the idea of Kiddush Hashem? Kiddush Hashem is, did they deserve it? No, they didn't deserve it. And if it could happen to them, if everybody else thinks it should happen to us, you know. On the one hand, like I said, you know, when we talked to our relatives in the States, I said to my mom, my mother said she couldn't sleep. I said, were you nervous for us? She said, I wasn't nervous for you. She wasn't scared. She just couldn't sleep. It was so tragic. She was right. Because Kliyakar, no, you should be nervous. All of us should be nervous. Because what do those people do? They did nothing. Nothing. And if it could happen to them, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that there's a problem and we have to improve ourselves. It could happen to all of us. That's the lesson of Kiddush Hashem.
Can you speak to the Rishayim? Rishayim,
look at it and say, no, Rishayim is us. Rishayim is us. You understand? You say the Rishayim is not like the people who are not interested whatsoever. The Rishayim are the people that want to listen. The Rishayim are the people that care, that want Kiddush Hashem, that want Bikur Vaya Kadesh, and yet you just don't get the job done. We're not doing it right. Heavy musar, huh? And he ends up saying, "Vizeh pirush yakar." You see that? Mm-hmm. That's a precious pirush. And there's a lot of theology in that, a lot of depth. Now, our Hirsch has a very similar comment. Says our Hirsch, as we're going to find it quickly, in Shmini, it's out in Hebrew, see if we can find it in English.
Isn't there a concept, though, also that the higher up one is spiritually, so yeah, the greater the punishment,
correct,
the smaller the deed?
That's exactly the point.
They judge more harshly, the smaller.
Right, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says, he judges tzadikim kechut ha-se'ara. But in a sense, it makes sense. Why? Because the greater you are, the more your small mistakes are meaningful. Meaning for me or you, for regular people to do normal things is acceptable. But for a tzaddik, to do that same normal thing is a great slip. Yeah. So we don't, like, all, what did he do that was so terrible? Right? Because you're not on that level to think that it was so terrible.
Yeah.
But he should know that it's terrible for him to do such a thing. So Rav Hirsch points out, it's very interesting. He says, one second.
It's interesting because it combines both Pirushim. You know, they were tzaddikim, they made a mistake, they died of Kiddushim Hashem. You know, because it's like in the past when I just heard, they made a big mistake and that's why they were killed. You know, it's like very negative, so it's not so negative in the end. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they were great, and it was a...
Here we go. He says it so beautifully, Rav Hirsch. He wrote it 100 years ago, and it's still true today. In sharpest contrast to the modern point of view, which regards spiritual and intellectual greatness as a free pass for moral laxness. I mean, the greater you are, the more, like, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. We don't care if you're, like, if you're an artist, if you're if we consider you a higher person, if you're a scientist or whatever, we don't care about your morality. And grants men of intellect a greater consideration and lapses against God's law of morality. The Jewish point of view raises the strictness of the demands for morality with each higher degree of intellectuality. The Gemara teaches in the verse, okay, "V'nisvivav nishara ma'od." His environment is greatly affected by storms. Melamed is what he says. Shakadosh Baruch Hu midaktek im svivav kechut ha-se'ara. That's exactly that line. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he is exacting with the people around him, like Kechut HaSe'ara. I just want to get it. He quotes it very beautifully. So we're all familiar with this idea in Tehillim. He quotes Tehillim. I think he said it was 99. Sadi Tet. Okay. David HaMelech says, one second. No, not Tet. One second. LXXIX. LXXIX. 89? 50?
She said 79.
What? 79. Oh no, XCIX.
99.
99? I thought so.
XC is 90 and IX is 9.
Yes. Moshe V'Aaron. Okay. One second. Romemu Hashem Elokeinu. No, seriously. Romemu Hashem Elokeinu. V'yishtachavu la'adom raglav kadoshu. Okay? Right? Exalted. Moshe v'Aaron b'kohanav.
Ushmuel b'korei shemo, koreim el Hashem, v'hu ya'anem. He will end, okay. Ba'amud anan yidaber elehem, God speaks to them in the Amud anan, shamu edyota v'chok natav l'amo. Let me say this, fairly interesting. Hashem Elokeinu ata anitam. God, you answer them, but then it says, el nosei ayita lahem, you're a great God, anita lahem, ayita lahem, v'nokem al alilotam. What is nokem al alilotam? You take vengeance against their alilot, against their sins, their iniquities. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be nokem al alilotam if they're great. That's the demand of someone who is great. The greater you are, it almost makes you like, okay, I want someone to be a regular guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to pass on that. But that's the challenge of greatness, to understand that the higher level you are, the more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold you responsible and hold you obligated. It's a little bit frightening. Where are we? What time is it? I don't know. I just wonder where I'm... 9:15. Okay, fine. Okay, so let's do now. Let's go to Vayidom Aharon. So what is Aharon's silence? So we already saw the perush of the perush in the Orachayim. What's Vayidom Aharon? Aharon was silent because he was appeased. Okay, that Moshe Rabbeinu told him, Aharon, it's your fault. You're guilty, right? And Vayidom Aharon, and Aharon was silent because he felt, oh, it's not me. This is preordained. That's one perspective. But one second, who said this? Nikki, I think you said that you always learned it a different way. That's Vayidom Aharon. So let's look at the parish of there's a few interesting things. What's Vayidom Aharon? So one midrash says the following: Avot Rabbi Natan. Why was he quiet? Lefishi shekibel alav tachanunim. He was quiet because again he accepted tachanunim. Mishnah says, "Kishemet benosher Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai." When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son died, nichlesu tamidav lenachamo. So his students came to appease him, to console him. Nachnas Rabbi Yossi, v'yashal b'fanav. Rabbi Yossi came. He said, "Amar l'Rebbe, v'sonecha she'emor devar achad lefanecha." Can I say something? Amar lo demor. I said, "Say something." Amar lo. He said, "Aharon ayu lo shnei banav gedolim u'metu shnehim biyom echad v'kibel aleim tachanunim." And it's almost interesting. He says, Aharon had it worse. He lost two children on one day, and he was mekabel tachanunim. And Moshe Rabbeinu somehow, when Moshe says bikurvaya kadesh, that's Moshe's way of trying to be Menachem Avil, says the Midrash, that he accepted, he appeased him. That's one school of thought is, right, that Aharon accepted Nechama. And what's a Nechama? I mean, like, what are you? The Shiva house is like, as a rabbi, you go to Shiva houses a lot. So the Shiva house is when, you know, the woman died, she was 94, and, you know, it's never easy for a child. When a person lived a full life, and the children are older, and, you know what I'm saying, there's a certain process, and everybody understands that there's a fact of life, and that's how it is. People simply don't know how to process situations where it doesn't fit into the normal stream of things. And they need to say, I'm sorry to say this, the most ridiculous things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go to a Shiva house where a tragedy struck. And people will say, it was the will of God, or your son was such a tzaddik.
So are you saying that this was inappropriate?
I think it's inappropriate. Because...
What was the son? No, what?
Us. Oh, I mean what he said. No, listen to what he said. The brilliance of what he said. I'll tell you in a sec. Meaning, we need, when things, again, we have that feeling of guilt. So when things don't fit into our worldview in a way that we can process and understand, we need to fit it into our worldview. So we'll come out and we'll say, or, you know, I think in our minds or in our own, that, you know, this is Ratzon Hashem, things that we know. But it doesn't make the person feel better, right?
Right.
I don't,
but it might.
You think so?
I don't know. I mean, you have to know the Nechama if you feel it's appropriate.
So what's the Nechama that you give?
Just being there.
That's exactly right. What did you say? Aharon Hayu Shnei Ben Avdolim. Umeitu shnehem biyom echad, Aaron also suffered. He suffered terribly. And he also was mekabel tachanunim. He didn't say, you understand the depth? He didn't say what he said.
Yeah, what does that mean?
He accepted consolation, meaning that Moshe was there with him. Kibel alav tachanunim. Meaning, I wouldn't go, I never felt theologically comfortable to go far as to say what the Or HaChaim said and what the Rashi said. Moshe said, it was for the best. Really? It's for the best? It's easy for you to say because it's not your sons. You know what I'm saying? And I think there's a lot of depth to that. What's the Kabbalah tachanunim? Okay? We're here. We're Menachem. That's all you can say. Like, well, do you know? I don't know. Nobody knows. Right? But we're here for you. And we have faith, and we believe, and we know you're going through incredible pain. Right? And that knowledge, and that acknowledgement, it's interesting. On the one hand, it doesn't lower our connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. We don't believe less or believe more because of it. But we still have a sense of consolation, a sense of comfort. From Menachem. Nichum Avelim. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Menachem. You should come to you. Should console you. And that, I think that's the best thing that you can say. As opposed to the trying to theologically justify to someone who's suffering. Doesn't really do it.
And what about what I said before about that he's not allowed, like the idea that he's allowed.
That's one. Okay, that's one. Number two. We'll go to the Ramban. Okay? The Ramban takes a totally different path.
Sometimes you need both. Like, sometimes you need just the person to be there with you. And
yeah.
Sometimes you do need to hear
that. I can't say. Let me say. Thank God I can't. I mean, I guess I could say. I don't know. Like, I never thought. I don't know. Yeah, you are getting personal. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because I had a situation where, I lost a pregnancy.
Yeah.
And it was very, very hard for me.
Sure.
And the fact that, by chance, there was a rabbi there, and he talked to me. And the fact that he told me that there's a process of neshamot, and that sometimes the neshama just has to come back to do a tikkun, and I don't know if, today I would hear it, I would say, okay. But at that point, that's what I had to hear.
Uh-huh.
It was that made me get strong and get up and say, okay, let's do some, let's stop crying.
Yeah, it could be. See, it's interesting to me. It's so interesting to me because I don't have the theological confidence to know that that's why you suffered what you suffered. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know that. You know what I'm saying? So what I could say is, I don't understand why you're going through this pain. Right? But obviously, a Kadosh Baruch Hu sending you...
I think that you need both. Let's say, sometimes you just need a person to sit next to you and hold your hand and not say anything. Mm. Sometimes you do need... I think that when a tzaddik, Aaron was a tzaddik, and when Moshe tells him, your sons were very special, and they were chosen to be sacrificed.
That is Rashi.
That's
comforting to him. Vayidom Aaron. It's so interesting he says Vayidom Aaron. We'll get to Vayidom Aaron in a second. Because I do want to... That's a good Ramban. He says, what does it mean, Hu hadavar? Hu asher diber Hashem? When did God say it? So he says... Ramban says the word diber doesn't mean spoke. Hello. Oh, I know you. The word diber is a gzeira. Hu asher gazar Hashem. Gzeirotav umachshavotav ve'inyan drachav. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ramban and Rashi are total opposites, yeah, theologically. Right? Ramban is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, I have no idea why God did this. But this was the will of Hashem. And when Hashem does has a will, he says, one second. And so he says, that's Gzeira. V'nei amar Moshe, ha-mikre ha-zeh asher gazar Hashem le'mor al-libo b'kavar ha-kadesh. Okay, this is Hashem Gzeira. Okay? V'tam v'yidom Aharon, sh'haya boche b'kol. Aharon was crying. V'az shatak. And then he was silent. Okay? Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu came to Aaron. He didn't say, it's better, it's whatever. He says, this is what God decided. And you have to be quiet. Vayidom Aharon. You can't mourn. You know, that's hard. It's hard, very hard for us to understand. It's interesting. So the Ha'amid Davar takes it one step further. He says, so interesting. He says, the word Vayidom Aharon is a strange word. If Moshe Rabbeinu really said, this is what God said, okay, this is what God wanted, this is Gzeir from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Aaron accepted it, what should the Pasuk have said? Vayishma Aaron. Aaron should have listened. Okay? All right, one second. Okay. It says, it's all covered Hamed. One second, blah, blah, blah. If this is what Hashem wanted, and this is the Kiddush Hashem, why should he cry? Right? It's almost like, you know, the famous story in the Gemara. Like, if the child is taken for something necessary, if you feel that there's a purpose, then you are comforted, you're consoled. Right? If you take something from the child and say, no, my child, I need it. I need it for a reason. The child could say, okay, you need it. I accept that. I'm not going to cry. Okay. One second. It should say, and Aaron heard. It means he understood. What does it mean that he was silent? Mashma'o afagav shelo b'chai, even though he didn't cry. Mikol makom lo kipel gam ken b'simcha de'ivrei Moshe. He didn't accept Moshe's words with joy. Meaning, if he really was 100%, this is what Hashem wanted, this is what it's supposed to be, he would have accepted it. Meaning, it's above our level, he would have accepted it. Aval lo mishum mi'ut chasidot chas v'sham. It's not because Aaron wasn't a chasid. Ela mishum shehivin bazeh. He understood that it was, he said, yes, it was what Hashem wanted. Yes, there was a level of, this is what God needed. But he also understood that there was still a level of connection to the Chet HaEgel. He understood that he still had a responsibility. That he still somehow, he was related in some way. So Vayidom Aaron means that Aaron understood, Aaron accepted, Aaron still felt guilty. It's like a combination of all the different pshatim that we had heard before. You know, and I think that there's a lot of that. Like even when we bring it down to the things that we feel today, we know that it's Gzeirah Hashem, we know that Mitatam Shel Tzadikim HaMechaper, but we still, and I think justifiably know that in some ways when Tzadikim suffer, we have a level of responsibility. We have a level of Achrayut. And the Vayidom, our silence, our inability to respond and to mourn and to cry and to not just accept in a way is a good thing. Because it should prompt us to improve ourselves in some way. You can't just let it go. You can't just let it happen.
But what about what I said before, that he's not allowed to, like the idea that he's not allowed to cry?
Well, so then another pshat, you mean the Hu Asher Dibar Hashem Vayidom, meaning... But you're saying because some say the reason was because he was in the Beit HaMikdash at the time. And he's not allowed to cry because he's the Kohen Gadol. Right? And the Midrash says it. The Gemara says explicitly, from this we learn, the Kohen Gadol can't cry because, and he's not allowed to mourn. There's a halacha that if a Kohen Gadol loses his parents, he still has to bring the Korbanot. A Kohen Gadol is not an Avel. He cannot be Mitameh. That's the job of the Kohen Gadol. His responsibility is for the people. There's a certain Kedushat Kohen Gadol. But here we're looking at the more emotional aspect of it. The idea of not mourning. And Aaron's response, he was silent, he controlled himself, but it was almost a controlled mourning. Like, you know.
But like, for instance, I went to visit someone who's seen Shiva, literally, she said Shiva for half a day because her father died Erev.
Yeah, it's very painful. It's very difficult.
Right, and it's very hard to understand that. Like, she's not allowed to mourn. It's a happy time.
Simcha cancels out. Yeah.
Right.
It's very hard.
It's very unfair.
Yeah, it's a very challenging position to be in. To be in that situation of being told, doesn't mean you can't mourn. It means that the externalities of mourning are cancelled out by the Simchat HaChag. It's a model, an example of the Simchat we're supposed to have on the Chag. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, it's a definitely a difficult challenge. All right. I'm sorry to be such a downer today. You know, hopefully, well, we can learn our lessons. Hopefully, each of us, you know, will take the message to heart and find a way in which we can improve ourselves and be mizakeh the klal and hopefully bring smachot to klal Yisrael.
What is Yom HaShmini?